Let's pause it all this.
Woo! Put Scooter on the phone, you bird brain.
What do? Backflips? You jump up there in a silly suit? What do you do?
Yo, bam! I want you to play that.
Oh, man, look at that picture. What the heck is going on here today?
I got no idea.
Oh, man. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another exciting episode of Fast Freddy Rocks Youngstown, coming to you live and direct from the state-of-the-art Youngstown Studios in beautiful Youngstown, Ohio. And we have a good show here today. Well, actually, it started out, I thought it was going good. You know, our producer extraordinaire, BJ Lisco, says, hey, listen, we got the big anniversary coming up at the Cedars West End this Saturday night.
10 years.
We got the Infidels. We've got the Eight Balls. I'm going to get Dave Lisco from the band to come on. We got Timber Gillen from the Eight Balls in the house, and then all of a sudden Viking Jim comes staggering in somehow. Don't we have a lock on the door here or what, man?
I was driving by and I saw the lights on.
We have to remember to close the curtains next time.
There you go.
That's the problem. Yeah, we didn't get to close the curtains. Hey, you guys in there? You guys in there? No, go away.
Well, I thought you guys would be happy because, like, I just ran into Ray Mancini and I smell like patchouli.
Oh, okay.
So the whole place is smelling very good.
I thought you were back.
Yes, he does.
I thought you were back with the hippie when you walked in.
You thought me and Moser.
Yeah.
That's all right. She says, hey.
Yeah, you can tell that to Liz. I don't know if she's going to believe it or not, but if it worked on us, whatever. Yeah, okay. It was Ray. It wasn't the hippie. So, yeah, okay. We're good, man. So we do have a big show coming up. So, Timber, tell everybody what's going on here, man.
Okay. So what's happening is the fabulous Cedars Lounge from where the Eight Balls started back in 1981. You know, about a million different bands play there, and a million different Youngstown bands start out of there. And about 10 years ago, the daughter took over, Mara Simon, and that building was collapsing over there downtown. And so they moved it over to the west side. And I can't believe it's been 10 years.
Wow.
Already.
Yeah. That's just flying by. I can't believe that it's been since 1980 when you guys were getting going at the Cedars. That's what's even crazier. You know, you're sitting there going, that was 1980. Yeah. You know, and we're in 2023 now. When people start flying these dates out, man, it gets crazy. Now, Timber and I, a fellow Wilson High grads, right. You know, we used to hang out with the Dirt Brothers back in the day, Tom and Jimmy and Billy. Remember that? We used to have some good times. Now,
absolutely.
And you also worked at Underdog Records, right? Didn't you work at Underdog?
Absolutely.
How long did you work at Underdog?
I want to say for 4 years. So what happened? I just got my driver's license. You know, we're always looking for things to do. You go to the mall for a while, you go to find pizza for a while, you lose it some foosball, you know, play the jukebox. But we were driving down South Avenue, me and my friend Paul Krasnowski, another Wilsonite.
Yeah,
we see this little sign that says records up on this wall. Records. We turn it all around, make a U-ey. We go in there, and there's this guy and his partners. It's Sonny Boy and Eddie Rapica in there. And they literally had two albums. They had two albums. They had Elton John's Rock of the Westies, and I forget what the other one was. And we start talking to those guys. We start hanging out there so much, they're finally like, let's just give these guys jobs.
Yeah.
They're like, here's the keys. Close up when you're done, because these kids don't want to leave.
How significant that Sonny Boy was in my rock and roll history. My first concert tickets ever.
Yeah.
Todd Rundgren at the Tomorrow Club.
Oh, I was there.
He did the matinee. I was 15 years old. That's I was right. with my older brothers. I thought I was the king of the world.
All ages.
Yeah. My first Iron Maiden album. My first Motorhead album. That shop has so much significance in my personal experience. And then everybody else.
Oh, right. That was the first real independent record store, the most popular in the Youngstown area. And, of course, Head Shop to go along with it. Now, you know, you mentioned our buddy Krasnowski. You know, it's really funny. Later in life, he went on to work in the medical field. Right?
Sure. Yeah.
And I had a problem. I wind up in St. E's Hospital. I'm laying in the bed, and who comes walking in to like probe me or something? I don't know. Maybe that wasn't part of the whole thing or the part of the whole deal. I see Krasnansky sitting there. I'm going, either I'm really in trouble. I'm going, this is the guy that was selling power hitters down at Underdog. This is the guy that was selling rolling papers and power hitters and Pink Floyd albums. And now he wants me to roll over, and he's going to do what?
He's going to check your meds while you rolled over. He didn't want to touch you.
Two for me.
Oh, that was so funny. I just looked at him. I just started laughing, man. And I'm like, what is going on, man? What is going on?
That was definitely Teenage Boy Paradise, though.
Absolutely.
Mid-70s. We had all the albums we could eat. We had all the rock magazines. We had all the skin magazines.
Yep.
Playboy Penthouse. Club. Hustler. Oh, yeah. Club Gallery. There's another one. Yes, the lesser ones. And we had a good time, and then we had all kinds of supplies.
You can't tell these kids today. We used to have to use one hand. Because you needed the other one to hold the magazine
That's
up.
That's right. And the pages stick together.
That's right.
I was just thinking about this. We had a pop machine for a while there in the store, and eventually it just started to fill up with beer. Yeah. People go to put money in there. We're like, no, you don't put money in there.
It's all right.
It's just a print.
When you said that, I still heard it in Sonny voice.
Yeah, that's right. Well, he's kind of an addictive personality. Yeah. Certainly spent a lot of time around him. That's right. Underdog Records is still going.
Yes.
Still over in Hubbard.
Yeah.
And he's still the man.
Yeah, he still is, man. I love that guy, man. I'll tell you, going to see Saxville over the years. Yeah. I got this one story I got about Saxville. For one, we were out at a we got to give can somebody give Dave the correct number? We got to give Dave the correct number.
God Lord, is it Lisco?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so what were we just talking about? Oh, Sonny. So I was having a terrible day, and we were out at this rib burn off out at the Kent State Trumbull campus, and we're playing out there, and I'm just standing there. I'm kind of down in the dumps. And then, of course, here comes Sonny. He's on stage with his dress and he's doing that. And then he makes this big deal, and he brings out Saxville's biggest fan, and this girl come out with just this giant fan. And for some reason, this girl walks out with this giant fan. And there's Sonny standing there in a dress, and I just started losing it. I was just laughing so freaking hard.
Bad, it's good. But he's still playing. Saxville's still playing.
Yep.
We were playing together with my wife, Amy, and Tommy Saylor. And a pleasure.
Yeah. Oh, where's Tom? I haven't heard from Tom in forever.
Tom's doing all right. He's doing all right. His mom was sick for a while, so they canceled a few shows, but I think she's back on track.
Yeah, there we go. Now. Hey, we got to get Dave Lisco the phone number. He's trying to call in, but I think he's got the wrong number. So can we text him? What is our number here? You think that me being the host of the show, I would know, that. Know that. But
I would tell you 330-743-0000, but that's the number down at Golden String Radio.
Okay. 330-565-1600? 595. Oh, 595. Okay. Here we go.
That's the one I had got. 565.
So Timber, okay, 595.
Yep. Right.
You know, I've been doing this show for years. Do you think I would know the phone number?
No.
I didn't need that kind of a no. I didn't need like, no. You could have chuckled like, yeah, you're dumb. Or no. What kind of answer was that?
Having worked with him for years.
Oh,
having carried me for years.
You're another one of these.
I have carried you for years. Hey,
I wasn't doing nothing.
So Timber, how did you start getting into music, man?
I was into it since I was a little kid. You know, I remember listening to the radio with my mom before I went to kindergarten. You know, mom would be there, you know, listening to Tennessee Ernie Ford tap dancing in front of the ovens on the stove.
I love it.
Flatfoot Fruity with the floor. And anyway, I started to, you know, when I was about five, watching Ed Sullivan like everybody else from that era, and saw the Beatles first time around, and you just kind of hooked. All these girls are screaming. I was like, that looks like a good job. That looks like a good job right there.
No question.
I took a few guitar lessons, speaking of Youngstown history, down at T. Ross Music.
Right in Struthers.
Down in Struthers, yeah. Sandy Jackertail.
Yeah.
Nice. And I learned a few chords down there, and I was like, this is too hard, and I quit. I went back when I was about 14, learned a few more chords, and I was like, no, I don't get this, just quit.
How's that F sharp work?
Oh, yeah, that's a tough one. But one day I was kind of messing around. My dad played a little guitar. He played country, and he's sitting around strumming some Hank Williams song or something, and I'm just like, what are you doing there? He goes, Come play with me. You know three chords. And I'm like, yeah, not many more than that, but yeah.
Yeah.
But you don't need more than three.
It's still like that. Still like that. So I started playing with him, and he's like, you know, you can play about any song, you know, these three chords.
Yeah.
So we started doing that. I started making up some of my own songs and stuff. And then I was just a big fan, you know.
Yeah.
And like I said, I used to hang out at Underdogs. Used to go to every show we were allowed to go to when we were kids, you know.
Yeah.
Remember teen dances like at the Y.
Oh, and right next door. We were talking about that. You know, they got the Left End reunion coming up next week. And we all used
that
to hang out
there, man.
That was a
huge thing.
Remember
Left End.
That? When Left End would play, well, Pooba played there, Great Lakes. And it's right across the street from where we're at right now. That was the thing on Friday or Saturday night, whatever night it was, everybody in Youngstown was in that place, man. Yep, and we would just rock it. And then of course, then we advanced to the playground and places like that,
right,
and moved our way up Market Street and here and there. So we'll talk more about that in a little bit. Let's get Dave on the phone.
Say hello to Dave.
We got Dave Lisko with us from the Infidels, and they're going to be playing with the Eight Balls. How you doing, Dave? What's going on, man?
Hello, Dave.
I'm doing well. Yeah, it's been a long time.
Well, look at this cast of characters we got in here. We got Timber, we got Viking Jim, BJ Lisko's roaming around here somewhere. So tell us a little bit about Saturday night, man. What can we expect when the Infidels hit the stage at Cedars West?
Well, Fred, you know, we're looking really forward to it. And I think what people can expect is the same high energy we had back in the day. It's amazing that we've aged, and maybe we're not as pretty
as we used to be, but the energy is still there. So
of course you are.
Now, for some people that...
Yeah, we...
No, go ahead. Continue on.
Yeah, so we're doing a set of some of the songs people are used to from past records, and we have a new record coming out sometime this summer, and we're going to play a handful of those songs as well. So you'll hear some new Infidel stuff, some older Infidels legacy stuff, I guess you could call it, and maybe a surprise or two as well.
That's very cool. So for people that might not be familiar with the Infidels, some people like Viking Jim that have numbed a lot of brain cells from when you guys first started and might be a little fuzzy. Why don't you give us a little bit of background on the Infidels? Why don't you give us a little bit of history of the band?
Yeah, for sure, Fred. So, you know, the band started in 1982. I can't believe it's been that long. And we've been this lineup since 1985. So four-piece band, two guitars, bass, and drums, all original. Everybody writes, everybody sings. So lots of harmonies. And, you know, the band started out kind of a three-chord, you know, punk-influenced garage band, if you will.
Yep.
And, you know, we always had a keen ear for melody, and kind of like as we played together more and more, kind of learned how to play with each other and what fits. And, you know, songwriting changed and grew and improved and matured, but we kind of always kept those punk rock roots to it. So very high energy, two guitar rock with a lot of melody, a lot of harmony, and again, a lot of energy. Very, very high energy band. So if you think like, oh, I'll go see some grandpa rock, that's not what you're going to get. You're definitely going to get some energy for sure.
Right, right. And why don't you tell us the other members of the band too? We'll give a shout out to those guys.
Yeah. So the band started by Pete Revere, who's on guitar and vocals, and John Halumic, who plays bass and vocals.
Oh.
And they had two original members, Tony Mentor and Ken Laverty. That's how the band started. And then John Corey, who plays drums and sings as well and writes, joined the band, I believe, in 1983. And then I joined in 85, and it's been that lineup ever since. So almost 4 years, which is crazy. It's gone by so fast.
I would call those guys the classic lineup right there that Dave set down. I would call that the classic fucking lineup right there. And as much as you guys are as rooted in the consciousness of the Mahoning Valley as any other band on the planet, national, worldwide, whatever, but I gotta say, you guys are a massive part of a lot of people's lives.
Well, Jim, that's really, really nice of you to say. Thank you. You know, it's been a lot of fun for us. You know, we're like brothers, and love playing together, and love writing stuff, and performing. And I'm glad we're still able to do it, and it's still fun, and we're still writing cool stuff. So, if what you said is true, and that's very kind of you. That means a lot, and it's been a blast, and we can't wait to play on Saturday and keep going. We're going to do more shows when the record comes out, and hopefully keep writing and recording and making stuff as long as we can.
Yeah, I think Viking Jim hit it right on the head there. When you think of that whole music scene at the Cedars, I think, you know, the Infidels are one of the bands, of course, you know, Eight Balls too, but I think the Infidels are one of those bands just automatically come to mind when you think of that whole scene at the time. Now, why don't you share a couple of your memories with the Cedars, you know, what did the Cedars mean to you? What were some of the big shows you guys played there, or some interesting other acts beside yourself that you saw there? Or, you know, why don't you tell us a little bit about your, you know, just hanging at the Cedars, your Cedar memories?
Oh man, Fred. Yeah, there's so many, but I can remember the first time I went down there. I was 16 years old. I met Daryl Balestra, who also was a musician in Youngstown, and we became fast friends, and he said, oh, my band's playing at Cedars. Like, oh, okay, I don't know. Yeah, I'll go. Sure, I know where that is. I had no idea. And so I was 16 and I wore a tie because I thought, like, I'll look older. Don't let me. The guy at the door probably, like, wasn't going to check me that closely. I was like, oh, I got in. This is great. And I saw Daryl, and he was in a band called Reign of Terra. And they were opening for the Eight Balls. And so my very first memory was walking in and seeing this guy set up his drums. And I'm like, are you in the band with Daryl? And he's like, no, I'm in the other band, the Eight Balls. And it was Sandy Nable. And it's funny how, you know, that was, again, I was 1980. And, you know, here we are playing together still and great friends. So that was definitely one of my keen memories. But, you know, from the Infidels perspective, we had a good run. And I can remember there being like over 500 people packed into that place. Oh, yeah. And, you know, kind of looking out, like seeing a line outside the door. It was crazy. And, you know, back then you could smoke in the clubs. And I remember seeing this big, like, puff of smoke. I think I have stage 3 lung cancer because I'm playing here. But no, it turned out that I don't. And, there's so many good memories, so many cool people, so many fun shows. And it's really been a blast. And, you know, now it's the 10-year anniversary of Cedars West End and just kind of keeping that tradition going.
Yeah, that is very cool. And, you know, we were talking about the sound of the Infidels. I don't think there's anybody better than Pete that gets that power pop, that power pop sound. I think he is like the master of that. I think he has got that sound and is able to record that sound perfectly.
He'll let you know it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Fred, honest to God, like, ever since I met Pete and we started playing together, he was 17. And even back then, it's like, man, this guy's got it. Like, just his dedication, his natural talent, his work ethic is second to none. And you're right. You know, running Amprion Studio all these years, it's amazing. We'll record stuff and I'll say, oh, I'm trying to get this one sound. And he's like, oh yeah, plug into that Benson and go through this pedal. And all of a sudden, there's the sound. So he really has mastered getting those sounds, getting that feel, getting that vibe. And it's been an honor and a pleasure playing in the band with him for so many years because all those guys are incredibly talented. And it's just so cool to, like, show up and go, like, man, like, this is like a big wall of sound that sounds really cool.
Yeah. Now, have you always been a fan of that power pop sound?
Oh, you bet. Yeah. You know, like, I had two older brothers. They were 10 and 9 years older than me. And so I can remember those guys, you know, playing the Beatles and the Stones and Led Zeppelin, and that really, you know, and the Who, I was like, oh my God, this stuff's so great. And then as I was coming up, I discovered punk rock, the Pistols and the Ramones and the Dolls, and blending those things. But like there was always a love for, you know, Marshall Crenshaw and there, you know, all like Husker Du and all those bands. But yeah, that power pop three chord melody, man, that just always moved my soul. And that, you know, that's kind of how you start writing too. When we started, you know, I hadn't been playing that long. And so to try to write a song, like, I don't know what I'm doing, but, you know, G, D, and C, that seems to work okay. No, so, like, listening to all those records and realizing not that some of those great songs were based out of two made a guy like me go, I could do this. Like, I'm not going to be in the band, yes. I'm not going to, you know, do these virtuoso things, but I can play power pop. It always kind of spoke to me.
Yeah, that's cool. Awesome. Hey, let's take one quick second here. Let's give a shout out to everybody checking in. Lori Mercer, Keith Sturgeon, good to see you checking in. The Hoags, he has some nice words to say about Viking Jim. Hoags must be doing a little sipping tonight listening to the show because he's giving mad respect to Viking Jim. So we know Hoags is drinking. Hey, look, our buddy Paul Mavrikas, Greek is checking in, man.
What's up, Greek? How you doing, Paul Mavrikas?
That's one of the most popular guys on the South Side.
There. Absolutely. Go back to a
Scrappers game with
Hope. Yeah, when he was the voodoo man.
The best voodoo man.
Barb Fox checking in. Hi, Barb. Bill Larson. Wow, Bill checking in. What's happening? Joe Pellin says the 8-Ball's made some great recordings.
Hey, all right, man. Thank you. Quick shout out. I understand our friend Harry George is doing better.
Yeah.
So, good to
God
hear.
God bless George.
Yeah, we'll be having him on the show here pretty soon.
Nice.
Our friend Elizabeth checking in. How you doing, Elizabeth? And she's even saying hi to Viking today, man. A lot of Viking fans out there today.
As well there should be.
Says who?
Said me.
Oh, okay.
Said them.
All right, so let's get back to Dave here and the infidels. So
I'm gonna interrupt here for a minute. Man, just a couple of things that I want to tell you about the infidels. That the first time I met the infidels, well, it wasn't the whole band. The 8-Balls were playing very packed, and this guy comes up and between songs, and he's wearing a dog collar. He's got the spiked hair. He's got the leather vest, and he goes, my name's Dog Wild, and I want to sing with you guys. And we're like, okay. Because we run a pretty tight ship, you know. We're pretty professional. I'm like, okay, the guy in the dog collar. Dog Wild, ladies and gentlemen. And he got up, and he tore it up, and he said, you know, I got this band, the Infidels, and said, oh, come out and open for us. And they show up. These guys are like 14 years old. And you know, every time I tell them that they're going, right. I was like 22.
Yeah,
but every time that they tell the story, now they get younger. Yeah, I was like 9. You know, yeah. I was in kindergarten when we started. I was in the womb. I was playing drums from the womb. But anyway, Dave is also a member of the 8-Balls.
Oh, okay.
So when we had Dave Tarasuski with us, and he passed on, and we were lucky to get Lisko here. And he said, how come you guys never recorded an album before? Let's go record an album. So we went over to Pete, and that's the album right here.
Yeah, what do you got in your bag here? You got a lot of stuff here.
Oh, what is Santa brought? What is Uncle Timber
stuff here, man?
This is our
on vinyl.
Our Doberman on acid right here.
Oh man.
You want one?
A Doberman on acid. I think you already got one.
Right.
That's one of the songs on there. But yeah, that's for you guys. And then we have some other swag here. The 8-Ball M&Ms is my favorite. We got the CD.
Say 714 on them.
on the back.
hey, Fred. I'll share a memory with you too, and I hope someone else in the room backs me up. I remember seeing a band called Lex Luthor, let's see what these guys are about. And they started playing, and you know, singer sounded good, guitar player sounded good, drummer's good. But like, something was out of tune, and it was the bass. And I remember walking up to the bass player, being like, hey man, like tune your bass. Like I think you guys sound really good, but the bass is out of tune.
Thank you, Dave.
And I think the bass player, I think the bass player may have split me off. It's not really
that's something you know.
But I Sinclair's in the room, so maybe he could verify that story.
Dave, I've totally forgot about that until right now, and you cracked me up. Yes, I remember.
So, the off key out of tune bass player was Viking Jim, is what you're saying.
Correct. Yeah. Dave, I remember that like it was yesterday.
And that's he's nothing has changed. He's still off key and out of tune. Period. If there's four words to describe Viking Jim, off key and out of tune. There he is. Oh man. But yeah, the Cedars.
Shirts made.
There you go.
And proud of it. So then, but the Cedars was really just such a special place in Youngstown. And for like another generation, that was kind of like once the Tomorrow Club and that was gone and the next bunch of kids coming up, they gravitated towards the Cedars and it started its own scene, which was really cool.
That's great.
You know, tell us a little bit more about the history of the Infidels. Now you guys are playing at the Cedars and you guys did some pretty big tours and stuff. Tell us about, the Infidels tour and, who you guys played with and, some gigs that might be memorable. Tell us a little bit about that, Dave.
Yeah. We got to tour with the Dead Boys, which was so cool because, growing up, we were all fans of punk rock and certainly fans of that band. So that was a real, real thrill for us. And we went along the East Coast as an opening act for them. And I'll share a funny story with you. We were playing in Atlanta and there was a band prior to us. So there was this band from Atlanta, then us, then the Dead Boys. And we were, kind of hanging out by ourselves. And one of the guys from the other band was kind of friendly and chatty. And one of the guys in the band was sort of standoffish and a bit of a prick, quite honestly.
Uh-huh.
And so we're like, wow, like what's that guy's deal? But okay. And he actually had the nerve to say, we should not be the first band playing. After we play, leave. I know you're here for the Dead Boys, but after you see us, just leave. Like show these guys they're not from Atlanta. Like, wow, what a jerk. So they start playing, and he sounds a lot like Rod Stewart. So we're like heckling him from the sun, like, hey, Rod Stewart, play Maggie May. Like, we're like totally giving this guy a bunch of crap. It was the Black Crowes.
Oh,
no kidding.
That's the Black Crowes.
Oh, that's a good one. That is a good one. Oh.
Yeah, they were called Mr. Crowes Garden at the time, and that's who it was. Yeah.
That is brilliant.
Oh, that is so wild. So what was it like being on the road there with Stiv for a while? Everybody's got a good Stiv story. No, you've got to have one, man. I'm sure.
So I this is my favorite Stiv story to tell. He's the person that taught me how to do laundry. I kid you not. We were just kids.
Mama Stiv.
Like, oh, I got to wash these clothes. And I'm like just throwing everything into this like laundromat. He's like, no, you got to separate the whites from the darks. You do white, warm, colors, cold. I'm like, oh, thanks. So that's my favorite Stiv story.
You know what? Too bad Stiv isn't with us. Could you see like Stiv Vader's doing like a punk rock commercial for some kind of laundry detergent, for Tide or something, starts out the day. He's out there. First they show him just out there shredding or rolling around on stage and stuff. And then next thing you know, here he is standing in front of a washing machine and like,
now we're just God, take me away.
Crawling into the washing machine like the bass drum, like he used to crawl.
We do ours different. We still sort whites and colors. And
washing the dog.
Fred, you are a Fred, you're a marketing genius. What a great idea that is.
You know, when we had Frank in here a while back, and he has this one thing in his book, and he was talking about the time that Stiv and those guys meet the Rolling Stones at this, they're at a skating party, some record company or something put together this skating party with the Rolling Stones. Right. And so Mick is over there on roller skates and everything. And everybody's like, falling all over him and stuff. The next thing you know, Mick is just standing there and Stiv rolls over and he just goes to Mick. He goes, excuse me, sir. Can you tell me where the restroom is? Like, Mick didn't know what the hell to do. And he just caught him so far off guard. I guess the way Frank tells it, it's just like, here's Mick Jagger. How many people just walk up to Mick and go, hey, dude, yeah. Where's the pisser at, man? You
know? Sheeta told me that story.
Nice. Oh, that is so funny. Yeah. How about you? You've got to have a stiff story there, Timber. You He's laughing. He's got one.
You know, I don't have the great ones that a lot of people do. I just remember him being at the Tomorrow Club. Yeah. He wasn't playing or anything. And I was standing by the bar talking to this girl. And he comes up. He knew the girl. And
of course he
did. And so, they're talking. And he orders a dead boy. And it was like they had their own drink. And the bartender's like, okay, what's a dead boy? And he just keeps naming drinks. It's like, oh, it's two jiggers of bourbon, jigger of vodka, half a bottle of champagne. Yeah. We'll get some tequila in there. You got any cough syrup? You can put that in there.
Well, see, they had their own libation, and you guys have your own band libation, the Eight Ball, right? I mean,
right.
20 bucks and
two dairy. It's kind of funny because we all had our own thing. I had my bourbon. Dave Tarzewski, he liked vodka. He was a resident Russian. I think Sandy definitely likes the wine. You know, he makes his own. And Cerny, he's like whatever you put in front of him.
Yeah. So how about you? Hey, let's go around the table. We'll start with you, Dave. Do you have a memorable show at the Tomorrow Club? One that you remember, or you know, a band you saw there that you're like, boy, that was a good one, or one of your favorite shows that you bring up that you saw these guys then, or anything?
Yeah, I can remember seeing you two. It was actually not the Tomorrow. It was the Agora in Cleveland. It was a $1 MMS night.
Ooh.
And going there and seeing that band was incredible for a dollar. But yeah, like all those shows at the Tomorrow Club were great. Yeah, I mean, who did I see? I saw Rush there. I saw Ted Nugent. I mean, it was crazy that these people were coming through Youngstown and just blowing the doors off.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, that U2 at the Cleveland Agora, that's like a legendary concert, because I think that was like one of their first shows in the United States, and that was really big back then. So that was a cool show then, huh?
Yo, unbelievable. And no one really knew who they were. I have so many stories I could share with you. So in high school, I was in a band with this guy named Caesar, and Caesar was always hip to like the new music and what was going on. And he would play U2. I heard I Will Fall. I'm like, wow, what is that? He's like, oh, they're coming. We should go. So we went to that, and there weren't a lot of people. And we think like, man, these guys are great, great energy. And I still have the ticket stub. But here's such an embarrassing story that I'm happy to share with you about my friend Caesar. So in high school, we have this band in high school, and we're not any good. And so, you know, we practice at, you know, the drummer's house for 2 months till the parents are like, enough of this, you know, go to the next kid's house. So we're kind of making the rounds. We're at Caesar's house, and he's got a little brother named Michael. And I think we're seniors in high school, and Michael's probably in eighth grade. So we're doing some like Beatles cover, and we're taking a break. And Michael says, "You're playing an A minor there, and it's an A seventh." And I'm like, "Shut up, kid! Like, don't do your spelling homework. You're totally dismissive. Like, get your homework. Get out of here."
Is this your homework, Larry?
Yeah, like fast forward 19 years, 20 years, I'm watching Saturday Night Live, and John Mayer is the musical guest, and who's his lead guitar player? Uh-oh. Michael Chavez. And I'm like, oh my God.
Wow.
That's the kid. I was like, go outside and kick a ball. You were right. It was an A7.
Wow. Okay. It was an A7.
Yeah. So like I called Caesar and I'm like, is Michael on Saturday Night Live playing with John Mayer? And he's like, he is. I'm like, oh my God, we were such idiots. We should have listened to that.
That's fantastic.
That's a good one there, man. That's really a good one. How about you, Timber? Any favorite show at the Tomorrow Club, Agora, any?
Oh, man. Well, you know, I worked at Underdog Records. We were a ticket outlet.
Yeah.
So we got to go to every show, and we did, too. We'd go to shows that we thought were going to be horrible, and they ended up great. Some of the standout shows, though, you know, we got to see Johnny Winter was there all the time. One of the first Journey shows with Steve singing. I mean, the band had been around for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And they came through... the legendary, what's her name from the Ronettes, Ronnie Spector. Were you there for that?
No, that was that good, huh? Right.
No, Ronnie Spector, she had this band come out open for her. Then they come out and she, they're the backup band for her.
Yeah.
So they start vamping into, dun, 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 you know, one of the hits they all sung the same. And she's not coming out. They're starting to look for her, you know. They're looking around like, where the hell is she? Finally, somebody drags her up on stage, sits in front of the mic, and you can tell she's trashed out of her mind. And she starts to sing, and she sounds perfect. She just kills it.
Nailed it.
Be my baby. And then she gets done and she falls down onto the ground.
Oh, damn.
And they come running out again. This guy props her up on a chair and she's just like swearing and falling all over the place. Did a couple songs and the band's like just like totally embarrassed and stuff. This is a legendary Tomorrow Club show. Oh. The people that were there, they all remember this. And after about 15 minutes, they just drag her off the stage and everyone's booing. And I was like, oh man, I had just seen The Rose with Bette Midler where she dies on stage. And I'm like, oh, these people are cheering and laughing. I'm like, oh no, this is bad.
Hey, we have another fellow Southsider checking in. Sue Babick, how you doing?
Hello, Sue.
She says, hi, Timmy. Hi, Freddie. And hi, the other guy.
The other fella.
Yeah, that other goofy guy there. She's talking about the time Rachel Sweet kept falling down. Jerry Lee Lewis and Devo. Yeah, I was a Devo. That was a good one. I love Devo, man. Oh, boy, I'll tell you what. They were the best.
Great band. Great
Jerry band. Lee was fantastic as well. He played a long time.
The Tubes was another good
that's
man.
That's the one I missed.
That was good. I'll tell you what was another amazing one. This is like one of these legendary Tomorrow Club shows. When AC/DC opened for Mink DeVille.
Oh, my God. I was at that one, too. Oh, man.
And they only played like about 5-6 songs. And I remember Mink DeVille could not play a note because everybody was just chanting AC/DC. I guarantee you, they never opened for them again, man. I mean, it was a blowout.
Wow.
They just ruled. They were so much energy. Oh. They were incredible.
Yeah.
And nobody had any energy left for Mink DeVille.
No. And Willie had the one thing I do remember, Willie had that long black leather jacket. He did have a badass leather jacket.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? You know how the Tomorrow Club was. Any other night, people would have loved him. You know what I mean?
But if he would have opened for them.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful. But I'm sure he still remembers that.
Oh, I guarantee you.
He fired his manager a half hour later.
What the hell was that, man? But, I mean, that dude had a rough night the rest of the night. They couldn't even play a note without people yelling AC/DC.
I left. You know, I stayed for a couple hours. There's no point. No point. They were so great.
Yeah, and then
don't forget that legendary Tomorrow Club show, Lex Luthor, where the bass player actually showed up in key.
No way. You actually played at the Tomorrow Club?
It was the Penguin Pub.
The Penguin Tomorrow Club.
There we go.
The Tomorrow Pub.
Yeah.
And I wear it as a badge of honor, the fact that I took a dump at the Penguin Pub.
You and G.G. Allen together was really something.
He actually used the men's room. G.G. did not. I was not at that show. I wasn't living here then, but that's what people still talk about.
Yeah, Sue's chiming in on Rush, too. It's, you know, Rush just celebrated the anniversary of their first album. It's hard to believe that they played there like 5 times, you know.
Did they play that many times?
They played there 5 times.
Wow.
You know, that's just incredible.
First time, my brother, when he paid $2.
Yeah.
Second time he went, he paid nothing because he stuck up the fire
escape. He got smart. But he still has that steel plate from the time he fell off when he tried to sneak in to see left hand, right? He still walks with a limp. Since
he's a bad talking late.
I remember I was too young to go to the first Rush show there, but because we were ticket out, like, we got to go to the sound check.
Yeah.
You know, oh, so we got to see cool. him sound check. Yeah. Me and Kraz, and we knew some of the guys that did yeah. sound there. It was called Sound Treatment, and Mike Kictavy. And we're like, oh, Mike, you know, what's Geddy Lee like? He's like, oh, he talks like that all the time. He talks just like he sings. Like, hey, you got a cigarette, man?
You know what? You know. Somebody had talked to Geddy like about a year or so ago, and they asked him if he remembered the Tomorrow Club. Really? The thing he remembered the most was the load-in at the Tomorrow Club.
Oh, oh my God.
That, you know, that's the, you know, he goes, that's that place in Youngstown. You pulled in the alley and they had the elevator and all that crazy stuff. Right. And that's what he remembered from God. That.
That was all kinds of screwed up.
Yeah, the load in at the Tomorrow Club. That was some crazy stuff.
How many people played there though? I mean, it's just the coolest because we were between, you know, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Chicago, New York.
Yep.
So on the off days, you know.
Oh yeah, Buffalo, Detroit, man. I mean, we just got them all. I remember when Pat Benatar played there.
Oh, that was
my first concert. That was really good. Todd Rundgren on Herman and Meek Hollow. My third concert, Ramones.
Oh, there we go.
They played there quite a bit, too.
Yeah, their first gig outside of New York City, outside of CBGB, and that's when they met Stiv with the famous car surfing naked down 680. That's a crazy story there, too, man.
I know that one from the documentary.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And you know what's crazy too? The Ramones went back and they told everybody at the CBGB, we played this club in Youngstown, Ohio. It was freaking crazy. And then the next thing you know, that's when Blondie and Television, Talking Heads, the Police, the Police played there. All five of those bands, because those guys went back and said, hey, you got to try this place in Youngstown. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. But more importantly, the Infidels and the eight.
Well, yeah. Well,
down the street.
Or thanks, Joe. A couple of espresso.
For $1.
Joe,
there man.
Espresso.
Yeah, there we
are
go.
We fancy?
Yes, we are. How about I put my little pinky out there like that?
There
cheers,
you go.
Mike.
There
I figured you were here and we'll, you know, class join up a little bit. So what were some of the other
ones? Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Hey, my
it
friend.
It smells so good.
Linda Carson chiming in. She saw Alice Cooper there. Yep. Alice Cooper is amazing. You know, I'm going to go see him on the 29th of April. And the guy still puts on a good show.
Fantastic show.
He's a
great band.
You know, and you, some of these guys you hear, they have a hard time maybe singing. He's still climbing around on stage. You know, his voice is still strong. And I think the thing with Alice is he made sure he got them young guitar players that go out there and tear it up.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
He's got great bands. Great bands.
Yep. And I think that really makes a difference. But, man, you know, you look at Alice. You know, I remember when he played at Struthers Fieldhouse, and that was 71.
I was at that one too.
Well, it's right down the street. You probably walked there.
I had to get a ride.
Yeah,
I was 13.
So, you know, so Ellis played there at Struthers Fieldhouse. Yeah, sure. And then, you know, he played at the Tomorrow Club. He played at the B&B backstage. He played at Packard Music Hall. He played at the Covelli Center. He played at the Amphitheater. He's like the house band of Youngstown when you start looking at it.
I think he likes the Mill Creek Park golf course. I think that's why he keeps coming back.
Turtles, man.
He's shot his best games over there.
Yeah, yeah. So he keeps coming back. But
can I ask Dave a question, Dave?
Yeah, you're allowed.
Cheers, man. Thank you, Joe.
Thanks for the cappuccino. Or is it?
It's an espresso, but go ahead. Ask your question.
Dave, what's your favorite Infidel song?
My favorite Infidel song? Had to choose one. I would say Then It's Gone from the first album.
Yeah.
What's your favorite,
Joe? Yeah. That's got a nice dual vocal, right?
Yeah, there's a three-part harmony through, but it's got a lot of minor chords, and it's like...
I think those are A7ths, Dave. I think those are A7ths.
Yeah. Hey, we'll get John Mayer. Hey, you know, we'll get him on the phone. If you need a couple
get
of
Mike
pointers,
Chavez
yeah,
on
we'll
the
get somebody. We'll get somebody there to straighten
you
out.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, man.
It's a John Halunik song, and it has like a nice minor feel, but it drives and it's got a nice melody. So that's probably my favorite. If I had to pick one,
yeah, nice.
Now, what was the one? What was the show? What was the show we did at Stamp Auditorium when the review was The Infidels, a jangling electronic yell fest? Remember that one?
I can't believe you remember that, Fred. It was Michael Stanley.
Oh, that's right. He opened for
Michael Stanley. Yes.
Yeah.
And we were probably like at the height of our, like we were practicing all the time. We just got back from the Dead Boys tour. Like we were amped up and like kind of a machine. And he watched us from the side and someone said, "What do you think of the Infidels?" And he said, "I think they're a zanging electronic yell fest," which we then took and put on every one of our flyers. Come check us out. We're a zanging electronic yell fest. Michael Stanley.
Okay, you're cracking me up. I remember that, dude.
Another t-shirt.
And I think wasn't Saxville there that night too, if I remember? Wasn't it you guys, Saxville?
They were. Yeah, that's
and Michael
right.
Stanley, I think.
Yeah, wow, good memory. Yeah.
Now, I can remember that. Now, I'm not going to remember that I'm supposed to, you know,
pay your bills.
Yeah, get gas in my car on the way home. Good thing they got that little light that starts dinging after a while. You know, it reminds me. that was a good time.
My attitude always.
But
stands for enough. F stands for far too much when it comes to gasoline. You're fine.
You got that right, brother.
Oh man, yeah. Hey, Ken Hedaris is checking in. You know, Kenny from down at the Robbins Theater in downtown Warren. That place has been really going good. We got Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes coming up.
Okay.
Yeah, on the 5th of April, I believe it is, Friday, Good Friday. We got Southside.
That's a great band.
And then
I don't want to go home.
And then April 28th, the day before Ellis Cooper, we got Ace Frehley coming down. It's Ace's birthday. And
he's moving into town, too. Yeah, he's playing all the time.
Yeah. But I tell you what, that last one, I went to see him, man, and Ace was really, really jamming. It was an awesome show. As a matter of fact, our buddy Keith Sturgeon that's on here with us, he's an artist. He does a lot of, you know, he's done a lot of famous people and stuff. And he's going to put together a giant birthday card, we're going to have everybody sign it for Ace when he comes down to the show.
Nice.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
So we can't wait for that. And if you haven't been to a show at the Robbins Theater, man, you got to get down there and check it out.
That's a great joint. I saw Wish You Were Here.
Were you there?
Yeah.
Well, why didn't you say hi, you prick?
Because I hate you.
Oh, I know that, but I would still, you could have still walked by and flipped me off or something, you know, no love. You were Wish You Were Here and you didn't even say anything.
I wasn't doing nothing.
Hey, how good are those guys?
Oh, they are the best.
Yeah.
Floyd tribute band ever.
I would say.
I read where they are sanctioned by Pink Floyd and they use their actual effects. And stuff like their lightings were existing.
We got a big Bob and Tom announcement coming up too, and I think it's one that everybody's really gonna like. If you're a Bob and Tom fan, it's gonna be good.
Those guys are still alive.
Swear to God, state law. That's all I'm gonna say.
Mike Armstrong next weekend. Yeah. Are you in?
No, I'm working.
Oh, you work.
Next weekend, man, it's a Left End reunion. What do you think? I'm going to go, shame on you to even suggest that you would be anywhere else other than at the Left End reunion.
Man,
there is something wrong with you.
No.
You're going to call me out, and you know what? You're going to call me out, and you're going to make other plans other than the Left End reunion.
Left who?
Oh, okay. Listen to that. Should we all
jump? Fred, my question is, are you coming to Cedars on Saturday?
Right.
In the world of Left End.
You know what? Vike is going to be there, but I am going to be out of town, unfortunately.
Going biking somewhere?
No. I'm going to go visit my son in Florida real quick.
Nice.
Maybe I'll see Ken down there. If Ken's down there, I'll go see him. He's down there too. Yeah, oh, I gotta get Ken some spring training tickets. My son works for the Blue Jays.
I heard rumors.
Oh, no, Sam.
Yeah.
Oh, so, Canada.
There we go. That's
our home and native land.
Off key and out of time.
Hey, you know what? What is that? Out of tune? What do we call them? Off key and out of tune? Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed since the days of Lex Luthor.
I got to tell you, that's a true story. That is a true story. Dave come up and says, "I think your bass is out of tune," and it was. Thanks, Dave.
Absolutely.
Oh, that is just so
always
funny.
Being helpful.
That
always
is just so funny, funny, funny. So what, you know, when you guys weren't playing, what were some of the places you were hanging out at? You know,
let's see, you know, because we got to go to the Tomorrow Club so often, we knew the bartenders, we'd get in for free, we'd get free drinks.
Yeah.
You know, all our friends were there. So that was definitely a mainstay for us.
Jerry. Yes, with Jerry. The filet of ass, always serving up filet of ass.
Absolutely. Kenny Johnson was our guy over there.
And Steve Bowich worked down there for a while.
You know, Debbie Woodward and Marianne Solick worked down there. Marianne was my girlfriend at the time, so we got drinks through there, and we started a band called the Blind Dates.
Which was
a perfect name for the band. It was me and Marianne, Debbie on drums. She'd never played drums before in a band. I'd never played guitar in a band before. We had Bummer Markusek as our bass player.
God bless Bummer.
He was from the Viking Gym School of Tuning, by the way, on the bass. And then this is great. We had a show coming up. We were going to play at the infamous ITAM Club over on the west side, all these punk rock bands. And so she knew Steve Woods. Steve came to our first rehearsal, listened to our songs, and just kind of packed up and left. Because Steve's very good, right? Yeah. He's very good. And we're like, okay, we get it, man. We get it. You're way better than we are. We go down the show. It's our turn to set up. Here comes Steve. He comes walking in with his little lamp, sets up and kicks out. He's still one of my favorites. He's funny. And he's got a talent.
Great sense of humor. We wrote a lot of parody songs together back in the day.
I love that.
You, Fred, need to come down and hang out with me at Belt Street with the gang.
Oh, now you want me to hang out with you? 10 minutes ago, you're blowing me off at Pink Floyd. You don't like me, and now you want me to come and hang out with you?
I've make never up your liked mind. Him, but that's the point.
Okay.
All right. We got song parodies coming out the wazoo down at Belt Street with the Feral Cats band.
Oh, that should be exciting. Oh, yeah, that's my
favorite band. Yes,
the Feral Cats. You gotta love them. So, Dave, when did you start getting into music? When did you get your first guitar? What were some of the first songs you learned how to play?
Yeah, I basketball was a big part of my life through high school. So I played a lot of basketball. And again, you know, my brothers were big influences and played records. So I always had a love for it. And I got a guitar when I was 17, my first guitar. Nice. And I learned how to play some AC/DC song. Riff Raff, I think, or Rock and Roll Damnation was the first song I learned. I just fell in love with it.
It's
just something I almost became obsessed with. I just played and played and played and played, just practiced all the time and listened to records and learned from records. And I was obsessed with it and still am to this day. Like I'll pick up a guitar anytime I have a chance to do it. So I was a little later. I know a lot of people start when they're like really young. Not that 17 is old by any means, for God's sake. But 17 is when I started and got in my first band. I didn't really know how to play in that high school band, but I surrounded myself with guys who did. And I remember saying, I'll get us booked in clubs. We're underage. Don't worry. We'll get paid. You guys play the music. And so we kind of did. I'd have my volume all the way down. And then little by little, I learned how to play. And I've been doing it ever since.
What was the name of that band, Dave?
Thin Air.
Okay.
Not the best name ever. Yeah.
I just wondered if I saw that one because Dave early on, he'd come down to the Cedars Lounge when he was 16. Well, you know, it wasn't but 2 weeks later that he had half the class of Ursuline High School down there. They were all in there. I don't know if any of them had any IDs or not. Oh, yeah, she was there. She was there, and your compatriot Casey Malone would have been as well.
Yeah. That whole Ursuline crew from back in that day, there's some pretty pretty hardy party, you know what I mean.
Hardy.
That was a fun thing about the Cedars, because all of a sudden all these people were finding each other that were kind of into this alternate music, you know, and it wasn't just the top 40. So you'd have these pockets from Wilson and then from Mooney, and a big bunch of people from Newcastle would drive over all the time because they couldn't drink till they were 21 right. over there. And they didn't have any cool club like that. So we'd have 20, 30 of them a night. And it's just this big gathering spot. And then you'd have all these artists and like the professors from YSU, the art professors and literature professors would hang out there all the time. And stuff. Fashion shows.
That was always the coolest thing about Cedars, is that no matter what you're into, like whether, right, like you were in your 50s and you're a professor, or you're an 18-year-old kid learning how to play, it never mattered. Everyone kind of got there together with a sort of collective of, let's check out, you know, what bands are playing. Let's be friends. Let's be open-minded to all of it. And it became this really, really amazing community right here in Youngstown that no matter who you are, what you were into, it was okay to be there.
Yep. That's cool. That really, you know, these last couple comments really kind of does sum up what the Cedars was all about.
Yeah.
That really made it special and really made it cool. It wasn't like, you know, went to this bar, that bar, where you had your normal top 40 thing and, and you play whatever's, you know, on the radio and their dance club or whatever. It was like-minded people, creative people, and people that were looking for something different and open to new music. And that's what really made, to me anyways, the Cedars so special.
And it was kind of a fraternity. You'd go down there, you didn't care what band was playing. It wasn't just to see a specific band. If you knew the band, that's cool too, but you knew there were going to be people there, you're going to have a good time. Orange Ruffies from Detroit, Michigan. Great. Oh yeah, I know those guys.
Wow.
And you can find stuff from anywhere. It could be from Detroit, it could be from Cali, it could be from anywhere, but they would show up.
Yeah. Well, one of their guys is from Newcastle.
Yeah.
And so
that's right. Gary told me that. Gary.
Can't think of his name right now.
Where's Gary been, man? Where's Killjoy
been? Yeah, we need Gary.
I don't know where Killjoy's been, but I'll send him a note.
He's probably staying away from you.
I don't blame him.
I don't either. You know, I don't know how I got the misfortune of you stumbling in here today, but we're dealing with it. I think we could make it happen.
In your Liverpool gear.
Yeah, in your Liverpool gear. You know.
Ted Lasso.
I love Ted Lasso.
Yeah, man. I'll tell you. So what can we expect Saturday night here at the? Let's go back to Timber here for a second. So when did you decide to call yourselves the Eight Balls? When did you have that? When did you have?
Well, you know, sorry.
Wait a minute. That was a delayed reaction there. Eight Balls, four guys. Duh.
Am I wrong?
I get it.
So.
He still could come up with a funny thing every once in a while. He ain't a dancer, but every once in a while he could do a little two-step there.
You know.
So honestly, Fred, we had our little band together. We didn't have a name. And then my good friend, and probably yours too, Dennis Childers, that we went to high school with.
Yeah.
He'd moved down to Pittsburgh. He was in art school down there, and he had his band called Car Sickness down there. They are. And they played Cedars often, but you know, I ran into him at one point. He's go, you got a band? You could come down and play with us. And we're like, cool. Calls me up on the phone. He's like, we're making the poster. What's the name of the band? And I said, well, I'm gonna have to call you back because we didn't have a name. So we practiced in my parents' basement.
Yeah.
And we're down there trying to come up with a name, and everything was the new wave name, the Cars, the that. And we're like, I don't know, the floors, the ceilings, the chairs,
the couch.
And the night's going on, and we're just fucking tired. And we look at the pool table and go, the pool tables, and I'm like, Eight Balls, because there's four of us, and we just all started.
Eight Balls,
four dudes, Eight Balls.
So we just all started cracking up, and that was the joke, and that's how we became the Eight Balls. And
perfect name, though.
Yeah, right.
Perfect name.
Right.
Yeah.
We come to find there's a lot of bands called the Eight Balls out there, but some of them don't even have four guys in it. I don't know how that works.
Yeah. Now, Dave, with you guys, with the Infidels, you know, when people are like Googling you and stuff like that, have you guys ever ran into any problems having the name the Infidels?
Well, people always think we're these like, you know, crazy political, like, you know, like, I don't know what they think of us, our website name was Infidelicious for a long time because we thought that was clever. Then we gave up the name, and now whoever has it, it's like this sort of like, you know, kill everybody. Like, oh, it's not us anymore. You swear to God. Yeah, you know,
that's funny. Joe Farina but checking in. But our Southsider, Joe Farina.
Hey, Joe Farina.
Name.
And
I believe.
We got the Jaybird checking in. He says the only reason Viking Jim is here is for the free Wi-Fi.
Well, I'm not going to deny that.
Yeah, he's coming down here looking at it. But, you know, some people would feel a little embarrassed, like looking at porn and, you know, with other people are around. Not him. Not this guy. He don't care. He's going to show you stuff.
He thought this was an all-night laundromat. He just came in and cleaned his socks.
I gotta go walk the neighbor's dog, so I'm getting the hell out.
Conveniently. Yeah. Where was that call a half hour ago?
I don't know.
Oh, man. Hey, there we go. There's Lizzie checking in today, too. Hi, Lizzie. Good to see you. And, yeah, man, but I'll tell you what. So, you guys about ready to wrap this up? We're going to talk.
Oh, we had a blast.
You want to talk a little bit more about the South Side? Some of your favorite things? We could go on forever about the South Side. You know, it was just,
yeah,
to me, that's for sure. Growing up when we did on the South Side was probably one of the best places to grow up, and going to Wilson.
Perfect.
And I have no complaints about my growing up or high school years. Or,
no.
You know. Like, oh, now you went to Paul C. Bunn, right?
It's PCB. My backyard faced that, so yeah, I hung out in the schoolyard all the time. Yeah, and it was tremendous.
You and Gary Frank and the Dirt Brothers and everybody all lived right up there in that little corner.
That's right.
Up there.
That's right. There were
Jimmy
a bunch
Brandt,
of Jimmy.
You know,
my buddy Jimmy. He's gone.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Boy, did we have a good bunch of guys, though.
Yeah.
You know, we would be out. We'd run into these guys here or there. There'd be a party or whatever going on. And, you know, it was just
the part of the Griff Brothers genius. You know, they would pull their money together and go to their parents and go, "You guys are so good to us. Why don't you go out to the movies?" And then all of a sudden it's like 20 guys show up over there.
I don't know how many parties would be there on Friday night, Saturday night. The place would be rocking.
Strohs and Easy Widers in the driveway, you know, discarded.
Hey, another Southsider in the house, Jim Fergan. Good to hear from
you. My buddy, Jim.
He still looks exactly the same. Jim looks exactly the same that he did in 10th grade. The guy hasn't changed, and he's retired now, and he still looks exactly the same. You see him, and you know exactly who it is.
That's
it's not
right.
Like, yeah, that guy could be like somebody. You know, you see Jimmy, and you go, right, and he's a big music dude, man.
That part of my growing up, part of my education over at Paul Bunn was at lunchtime. You know, you sit at these big long tables. Well, I happen to be seated at a table. He's about 3 years older than me, across from Jim Fergan and the legendary Jerry Cinefani.
Oh, man, yeah.
And Gary Haig. And these guys, they would just say, you know, they were all hilarious. And they would talk music, and I would talk music with them, and they kind of took me under their wing a little bit. And then Jim was one of our regular guys down at Underdog Records, so he went to all those same shows.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I went to.
Yeah,
we had a lot of fun.
Out there checking out all these shows. Whenever there's a show, you'll see Jimmy there. But, you know, you talk that just goes to say show what I'm talking about with us growing up on the South Side. You know, you talk about guys like Jimmy and Jerry Cinefani and you know, the Dirt Brothers and everybody over there, Pulaski and the Kennedy
Dave
Brothers.
Bellotto.
Yeah. I mean, we just had so many good people, and that, you know, and it's like we all got along really well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It,
right.
It was like, you know, we really got along. Now I know some people in high school, you know, may have not liked it, or, you know, these cliques or whatever, or, you know, these, but
I didn't find Wilson to be all that clicky.
No,
you know, somebody getting in a fight because they all like the same girl.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. But, I mean, well, you look at us though, like, you know, we're still friends. You see,
that's
Jimmy,
right.
And right. I mean, you know, you can go to any place. I mean, you know, you run into all these Wilson people, and it's like you start talking. It's like we never went away. You know, we still got this bond. You know that. What? What was that? What did you say?
I didn't say nothing.
No, I think you made like some kind of noise, like you were disagreeing what we were saying with or something. What was that? No, it was like something, huh? You know. Okay, go back and watch your free porn here with the free Wi-Fi. And Joe's probably going to get in trouble. They're going to find something on his records. Yeah, you know what? Well, listen, guys, about ready to wrap this up.
This is wonderful, yeah, man. So, thank you for having us. 9:30.
Yeah.
Saturday. This Saturday.
So it's
March 4th.
This is going to be the 10th anniversary of Cedars West End, which to me, once again, like we said right at the beginning of the show, 10 years already. Unbelievable.
Damn.
And we are going to be damn. So don't you just love this guy? It's like he's got Tourette's. He just starts yelling shit out. You know, we're going along, we're having a conversation, and then this guy just makes like a noise. When did you start getting Tourette's? When did this happen? Is this just recently or
just now? Yeah. What did Timmy say?
What's in here?
And let me make sure we get the whole commercial in.
I got a big bottle of Timmy and water right
here. You know, we do got to run this down, man, because you know all the great memories of the Cedars over the years. 10th anniversary already over on the west side of Youngstown, and they are going to be celebrating in style with the 8-ball and the infidels, and that is just going to be a great time. So,
and if you need your ears check with Dr. Lisco.
There we go. And so get it.
What?
So there's your shameless plug, pal.
What?
So if you are looking for something to do this weekend and you're saying to yourself, I wonder where there's going to be a screaming electronic
jangly
yell fest. It's going to be on the west side of Youngstown.
Yes, it is.
Well, listen, Dave, thanks for taking some time out with us, man. It's going to be a great show Saturday. Timber, we got to get you back. We are going to get you back. We're going to bring Sonny down. We're going to bring Tom Saylor down.
And Amy. We're going to get Amy Young. Down. We'll get the Guilty Pleasures down. Yeah. We'll get them back together here one more time.
Hey, one more thing. What is like some of the craziest underdog record story before we leave? Goofiest thing that happened there or crazy customers? Or how about things? Have you ever found any like dope or anything in used albums that people were bringing in or, you know?
We didn't take in used albums. Okay. People would come in and they would show you their dope. It wasn't like you had to find it.
Here's what I got.
Colombian, Hawaiian. What do you want?
Acapulco. Gold, man.
What's the best to smoke this with?
What kind of papers would you recommend that we
should I buy the 3-foot bong? How much ice do I put in there?
You know, the funniest one though, still though, is whenever I think of Viking Jim is drinking East Palestine water today. That explains that. Okay, now we know that explains it all. So, you know, the one item though that still cracks me up, and I always think about underdog, is the power hitter, the plastic.
Yeah,
the
that's called Oat Willies, Onward Through the Fog. You can still buy them. You can still find them.
That is so funny.
They're collector's items. You know, yeah.
Just head down to the flats and throw a frisbee around.
Yeah, you know, in a van with an 8-track tape.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's get Boston's first album, throw it on the 8-track and throw some frisbee.
What was it, 8-7-1-4? Because they cut the solo short on Stairway.
Oh, okay. Hey, quick memories of before we wrap up, one more time here. Lindsay Buckingham story? Somebody saying
that's my wife, Amy Young. So, Fleetwood Mac had been around for a long time, and then they got the girls joined the band, and they had Lindsey Buckingham, Stevie Nicks.
Yeah.
And so they started taking off. And they had made an album before that, Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks.
Right.
And so guy comes in, he's looking for this album. He's like, man, do you have that Buckingham Nicks album? Do you have a Buckingham Nicks album? And I'm like, yeah, we do. We got it. So I grab it, I bring it over to the counter for him to buy it. And he looks at it and he goes, man, that Lindsey Buckingham is so hot. I said, what? He goes, oh, that Lindsey Buckingham is so hot. I said, point to Lindsey Buckingham. He points to Stevie Nicks. I go, no, that's Stevie. The guy is Lindsey. And he's like, no, man, fuck you. No, that's Lindsey. This is Stevie. I'm like, no, man, I'm trying to keep you from embarrassing yourself any further. This is Stevie. He's like, you're an asshole. I'll buy it anyway.
All right.
Same reaction I had the first time I saw Poison.
These chicks are hot.
Well, listen, man. Guys, thanks for stopping by. Vike, always good to see you. You know, you're always welcome in. Dave, man, hope you guys have a great show Saturday night. And we'll have to get together and talk again sometime, because this has been a blast. Timber, we're going to get the Guilty Pleasures together and just come down here and shoot the breeze. Just, you know, Sonny's got 5 million stories.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, we love him.
I think what that is going to be is the four of us just sitting there listening to Sonny tell stories.
Yeah. The rest of us giggling. Giggling.
Yeah, Fred, thanks so much for having us, man.
No, you know what? There's only one.
It's
real
so good to hear your voice.
There's only one real song, though.
What's that, Dave?
I just want to say, Fred, thanks for having us. And you know, you talk about sort of Youngstown memories. One of my memories is listening to you on the radio, like, you know, back in the day, man, and always just thinking, like, wow, this guy's really talented. He's Youngstown, it's crazy. Just thanks so much. It's been a long time, and it's really fun to connect with you guys. And Vike, always a pleasure. You know that. And Tim, we talk to each other all the time. But this has been a blast, and just thanks for having us, and thanks for promoting the show and the band.
And we're just excited to be part of the Youngstown much for this community.
And thank you.
So, right. I mean, you do. The bike nights, you're always promoting.
I want to get back to one thing, though. You know, a lot of us that didn't go to Paul C. Bunn kind of thought these guys were snooty. You know why? Paul C. Bunn had their own song.
That's right.
Do you know the Paul C. Bunn song?
Of course I know the Paul C. Bunn song.
Are you going to sing it out?
No.
No? Okay.
I'll give you a little bit.
Okay.
There is one, only one, B-U-double-N, Paul C. Bunn. Clap your hands, raise a cheer, rah, let everybody know you're here.
There it is, man.
I sing it every time I see my boys down at the Royal Oak, the Kennedy
Johnny Brothers. Johnny and Louie, man. You got to sing the Paul C. Bunn song, man. The alma mater.
Still friends with a lot of those people.
Well, listen, thanks for coming out. It was Infidels and Eight Balls, the big celebration this Saturday night. Make sure you're out there, and we'll talk to you guys later, man.
See you soon, Dave.
Take care.
Sounds great. Thanks,
great time,
everybody.
Man. Awesome time.
Thanks, Dave.
That was fun.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us.